Welcome to Animal Voices on CFVU 103.7 FM in St. Catharines and CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. Today our feature interview is with Rob Stewart, director of the films Sharkwater and Revolution and author of book Save the Humans. But first we have a bunch of special announcements and interviews of some very exciting stuff happening in Southern Ontario during the month of October. So I highly recommend any of our listeners who are able to attend what they can to really check out these events that I'm bringing you today. I am joined in studio today by Hannah Lacknett, grassroots organizer and friend of the show, here to update us on the ongoing battle with Marineland and tell our listeners about the upcoming Festival for the Animals, which is happening from October 11th to 14th in conjunction with this year's closing day protest. So welcome to the show, Hannah.
Thank you, Dan.
No problem. So what has Marineland Animal Defense been up to this summer?
Well, we've been really busy just organizing demonstrations and also with the court case going on and behind-the-scenes work trying to get ready for the festival. So, yeah, we had our opening day demonstration. It was about 1,000 people, and we had Rick O'Berry come down and some nice youth advocates from Niagara came to speak too.
That's incredible. And so what special guests? We've had Rick O'Berry in the summer, and what do we have coming up?
For Festival for the Animals, we have a couple exciting special guests. We have Hilary Watson coming down from London. She's an activist with Sea Shepherd, and her father, Stephen Watson, is actually our memorial fund for Marineland Animal Defense is dedicated to him. That's like for transitioning the animals out of the park if it ever happens. So
that's awesome, yeah.
Yeah. We also have Peggy Yoki coming down. So we're really excited about that. She's been an ocean advocate for a really long time and also really well known for her skateboarding and surfing and, a really big inspiration for other women and people of color in the animal advocacy movement.
That's awesome. So what are some of the other events that are happening at the Festival for the Animals?
On the Friday, our first day of the festival, we're doing a free screening of Blackfish in downtown Niagara Falls. So we're really excited about that. And right after the screening, we're doing a midnight march to Marineland, and we have some special surprises planned for that.
Okay.
Yep. And then on the Saturday, we have a conference going on at Brock University, a full-day conference. We're having speakers from organizers within MAD and also other groups from Southern Ontario, and Peggy Yoki is going to be joining us for that, too, and speaking.
So it's not just Marineland that's the focus of the Festival for Animals. What are the other places that we're heading to?
First, on this Sunday morning, we're heading to Safari Niagara in Stevensville, and I'm pretty sure this is the first demonstration that'll be happening there. So that's really exciting.
Definitely.
From there, we're going to be marching to Marineland to join up with the big closing day demonstration at noon. So, yeah, that'll be good.
That's awesome. And then what's happening on the Monday?
The Monday, we're heading out to the Hamilton area for the closing day of African Lion Safari.
Wow. Yeah. So very action-packed weekend.
Yeah.
So can we maybe talk about this a little more? Tell us about what's going on at these captive animal parks. So it was Marineland, Safari Niagara, and African Lion Safari?
African Lion Safari, yep.
Yeah. What animals are there and what's going on with them?
Sure. So Safari Niagara, the first place we're heading to, they've only been open since probably the early 2000s. They have a lot of different kinds of wild species, a lot of exotic animals, large cats, that kind of thing, rhinos they recently got. The way that they're set up, and also kind of African Lion Safari, it's very hands-on, and they allow people to interact with the animals very close up, and it's, you know, a very unnatural interaction with these kind of animals. One thing about Safari Niagara that I think is really disturbing is they do catch-and-release fishing. That just really goes to show, you know, how much they value the animals at their park.
Yeah.
If they're allowing people to do that to them.
Yeah, and then Marineland, we pretty much know most of the,
yeah.
the details with whales living in essentially bathtubs. But what about the other one, African Lion Safari?
African Lion Safari. They have a lot of, they have lions, of course, elephants. Some main issues there, you know, they have cars driving through the park, you know, where the animals are walking around, you know, monkeys jumping on the cars. It's really dangerous for humans and animals, and they use bull hooks in the elephant shows, that kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah, there's been a few incidents there of people being attacked by animals. A couple was mauled by a tiger, I think, a while back, or was it? It might have been a lion. And a an employee was killed there by an elephant too back in the 80s. So.
Oh, wow. Honestly, like, I've lived in Niagara for a few years now, and I didn't even know this place existed until recently. So can you tell us a bit more about the conference? Can you maybe give some more details about who's talking? You were saying there were some Marineland Animal Defense members.
Yep.
And, you know, what's the day going to look like?
It's basically going to be full day at Brock University, probably from morning to late afternoon. The conference is focusing kind of on other social justice things and how they intersect with the animal advocacy movement and kind of what we want to see from the movement. So we have people from our organization and other organizations like the Hamilton Group focusing on things like feminism and anti-racism and kind of how those things play out in the animal advocacy.
That's perfect. And there's a variety of things that seems to be going on in Ontario this October. A lot of, like, great work, and especially mm-hmm. about intersectionality. So
yeah,
I'm really excited to see that, like, that push, because mm-hmm. I think it's one of the most important things that we need to do as animal rights advocates.
Yeah, definitely. We're hoping it'll help, like, broaden some people's minds and help them to expand their advocacy, and, yeah, it'll just be a good learning experience.
Absolutely. Now, is there a way for people who are not in the area to get down to the Festival for the Animals?
Yeah, we're actually doing buses again, like we did previously. So we have bus registration up on our website, both of our websites. And so people can go on our websites and fill out the form. It's $15 to reserve a spot on the bus. So hopefully people will take advantage of that.
Definitely. And any listeners who can't make it down for the weekend, how can they show their support?
Well, we're always looking for new donors and sponsors for the festival right now, if other organizations want to endorse. Also, just, you know, telling your friends about it and sharing our social media stuff. That's always really helpful to get people interested.
Yeah, definitely. And so where can these people go? You've got multiple websites, you said, plus
yep.
all your social media.
Yeah, we have a Facebook page, of course, Twitter, Tumblr. Our main website is marinelandanimaldefense.com, so you can find out more general information about the campaign there. And then specifically for the festival, we have festivalfortheanimals.com. The bus registration is up on there, and all details and times about the events will be posted there as well.
That's fantastic. And so people can learn more about that both through the Marineland Animal Defense Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr, as well as there's, like, specific events for the festival,
yep.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else that I missed that you want to really mention to our listeners today?
Well, I think that's about it.
Okay, great. So thank you very much, Hannah, for coming on the show today. I like doing these in-person interviews. I don't get to do them very often.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. It was really nice talking, and I strongly, strongly encourage all our listeners to head down to the Festival for the Animals, happening October 11th to 14th in the mm-hmm. Niagara region. Stay tuned, and we'll have more Animal Voices in a minute. We are joined now by Mike Nicholson. Now, Mike was on the show recently to talk about the Guelph Pig Save, and they have been continuing to do some great work raising awareness about the slaughter of pigs in the area. And along with an update on the Pig Save, he's here to tell us about a conference taking place in Guelph, Ontario on October 26th called Human Rights Are Animal Rights. So welcome back to the show, Mike.
Hey, thanks for having me.
No problem. So just to start off, I'm interested to hear how the rest of your summer went with the Guelph Pig Save. Can you update our listeners?
It all went pretty well, actually. We had our Pig Fest, I think that was on August 24th. Again, that was part of the Rib Fest resistance kind of campaign we were doing all summer. And yeah, it went really successful. We had a really great turnout. We had lots of donations by some vegan food companies, too, and yeah, it all went really well, and I think there's a lot of talk for it to happen again next year as a more annual thing for vegans and animal rights supporters to kind of protest the Rip Fest happening in Guelph, and hopefully other cities too, because again, it was a pretty good success, so yeah, it went well. I'm happy.
Yeah, I really like that. Like, when I heard about it, I thought that was such a creative idea, and I'm really glad you did it. So hopefully, you know, because there's tons of Rib Fests across, not just
yeah.
the province, across the country, you know, and I think we should definitely be following suit. That's awesome.
Yeah, the response was pretty positive overall. I think people were pretty pleased to see just alternatives being offered beyond just the typical protest. So hopefully it does pick up and we do see it again next year.
That's fantastic. So now let's talk about the conference. So how is it set up? Who are the guests, and what can our attendees expect?
So it's a conference, as you said, on the 26th of October. It's happening at the University of Guelph, and it's being organized, put on by two groups. First is Animal Liberation Ontario, and you can find the Facebook page. You can just search Animal Liberation Ontario. The other is, it's OPIRG Guelph, so one of the public interest research groups in Ontario. So it's OPIRG Guelph. These two organizations are putting it on. There is 7 speakers booked to come, and the whole conference topic is really about intersectionality of oppression and a lot of the campaigns for rights between different human communities and animal rights, and just showing the similarities and common issues that we all face.
That's so awesome. I think that's one of the biggest issues that we see nowadays is there's the single rights activism, and people need to realize that the commonalities of oppression, they all come together. And I mean, they should be really tackled holistically. And so is that sort of what the conference is trying to bring to people? What has been the response to the theme and stuff?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's about. It's been really positive. That's a pretty common response to that. People say this is needed more, that there is, I guess, a pretty noticeable gap between collaboration and like coordination between a lot of these different communities and groups. Even my experience living in Guelph, I see a lot of really great things happening between a lot of different organizations, but they're happening in little bubbles that people, if you're not really keeping up with each other, then you just don't really see it happening. So I just think if we can really start to bridge these bubbles and, you know, form more bridges between each other, we can really learn to help enable each other and form campaigns that are really supporting each other as much as we can.
Exactly. That's fantastic. So who are the guests that are going to be speaking at the conference?
So there's 7 speakers, as I said. We have a keynote address being delivered by Patrice Jones, and they're the co-founder of Vine Sanctuary, and they do a lot of work for LGBTQ liberation movements, and they'll be talking, just really opening up the whole conference and talking about intersectionality among social justice movements. And then we're moving into, it'll be a 3-person panel, and the first panel will be made up of, there's Breeze Harper, who is sort of the director and founder of the Sista Vegan Project, and they do a lot of work on critical food studies and like critical race studies, and a lot of emphasis on black feminist theories. And with them is Lauren O'Nellis, who is the founder and director of the Food Empowerment Project, which again is pretty much all about food justice and a lot of workers' rights and kind of ethical consumerism. And the third person on that first panel is Margaret Robinson, who is a Mi'kmaq scholar and bisexual activist. And again, they do a lot of really great stuff for promoting issues of veganism and indigenous rights. So that's the first panel. And then the second panel of 3 is made up of Lisa Kemmer, and they do quite a lot of work for, in a variety of issues, a lot of environmentalism and animals and world religions, but they'll be focusing on the sort of topic of Sister Species is one of their books, just explaining the commonalities between patriarchy and animal exploitation. So really interesting stuff about just like feminism more generally. Then there's Manny Hiscox, who is going to be talking about prisoner rights and a lot of the similarities between sort of the cages we make for humans and animals. And the last one of the second 3-person panel is Mary Santaske, and they'll be talking about issues of ableism and animal rights. Again, overlapping issues of disability politics and how that relates to how we treat and value animals in our societies. Those are the 7.
Those are some seriously incredible guests. Like, I think that's so awesome that you managed to get them. I mean, some of my absolute intellectual heroes are on that list. So I think that's really awesome.
A lot of former guests on Animal Voices too.
So now I read on the website that you've got the panels, but you've also got workshops. So what can attendees expect at the workshops?
It's sort of pending all the schedule works out the way it does. But again, the idea is just is to have as much time for each individual to kind of offer their perspective and the work that they're campaigning for currently, to really give the audience and the attendees as much direct sort of accounts of what they're doing and how they're doing it. So that way, people, if they're, you know, when they come, they can really get the most out of this conference and feel like they've learned the most about a lot of these movements as much as they can in a day. So hopefully, yeah, it all works out pretty well.
Cool. The event, like we've said, is on October 26th. Do you have to register? What's the process for that? And how late can people register until?
So if you go to our website, it's humanrightsareanimalrights.com. So all one word and no capitals. You can find more about the conference details there. There is a registration. We're asking that people who are interested in coming, that they register and purchase a ticket. Tickets are all by donation, though, so we're currently suggesting people donate $20 per ticket, just because it's pretty much a day-long worth of information with free vegan lunch, which is being catered by Food Not Bombs Wealth. And you can register pretty much till the day of. And again, if people feel like they financially they can't afford that, we're also giving tickets for free if people feel they need that, because we understand that, you know, a conference about intersectionality should be supportive of people of different economic means. So it's pretty much the day of, you can register.
That's fantastic. And I think that's really great that, I mean, when you think about it in the grand scheme of things, to see seven incredible people talk about animal rights and other social justice issues for just $20. Like, if I could pay more for that, I know I would. But that's really great that, you know, you've got the sliding scale for the people that perhaps can't afford that much. Yeah.
We're accepting donations too, so if people feel like they want to pay more, that's always welcome too.
And you sort of mentioned this, so listeners, to find more about it, to register, or just to learn more, they can go to, what was the site again?
So it's humanrightsareanimalrights.com, all one word without capitals. Again, that's the name of the conference. So R-A-R-E, humanrightsareanimalrights.com. There's also a Facebook event, too, where we're just doing more frequent updates. So I think if you just search Human Rights Are Animal Rights, that'll show up as a Facebook event.
Okay, great. Is there anything else that we haven't mentioned that you wanted to add?
I guess one thing we just want to sort of just say thanks to, we are receiving some sponsorship from organizations, and one of the big sponsors so far has been A Well-Fed World. And again, we're just showing a lot of appreciation and thanks for these organizations that can make this possible, so that we can offer free vegan lunches and we can do tickets by donation and bring a lot of these speakers in. It's organizations like these that are making this stuff possible, so I think it's really great that they deserve the credit that they deserve.
Awesome. I hope to see you there, and I hope a lot of our listeners can head out if they're in Southern Ontario or wherever else in the area. Thank you very much for being on the show, Mike.
Cool, thank you. Yeah, hope to see you there too.
That was Mike Nicholson of the Guelph Pig Save, who is also an organizer with the Human Rights Are Animal Rights Conference taking place in Guelph, Ontario. Stay tuned for more Animal Voices. On the line now, we have Jadine LaValle, one of the organizers of the Animal Rights Day, which is being celebrated jointly at Waterloo and Wilfrid Laurier Universities on October 3rd. So I just want to say welcome to the show, Jadine.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So first of all, can you tell us, what is Animal Rights Day and what are the events that that one can expect if they go check it out?
Animal Rights Day is a Cole University event they're putting on. It's a completely free event. And what we're trying to do is raise awareness in the general public of the different issues surrounding human and non-human interactions. We want to expose the systemic cruelties inherent in our food industries, research industries, the clothing, obviously, entertainment, and even the breeding of pets and the exotic pet trade. We're also looking to bring together a lot of the animal rights organizations in Ontario and Canada and have them all in the same place. It'll be a great day. So what we're doing is, the day of, we're going to have about 15 to 20 animal rights groups are going to be in the Paul Martin Center at Wilfrid Laurier University, and they're going to be giving out information. You could come and talk to them. They're going to be talking about upcoming events, because that'll be really great. Also, in the same area, we're going to be having free vegan food from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and it's open to anybody. Actually, it's a local Kitchener restaurant, Cafe Pyrus, going to be doing the catering for that. And also throughout the day in the same area, we're going to be having four panel discussions. One on the health benefits of veganism. It's called Veganism, the Health Benefits of Eating Ethically. The second is concerning emissions, how your dietary choices affect the planet. The fourth is unnecessary pain and suffering, the legal rights of animals, and the fourth is speciesism and a recognition of animal rights. And to top off the whole day at night in the evening, starting at 6:30 at Heggie Hall on the University of Waterloo campus, we're going to be having Joanne MacArthur come in. She's going to be giving her We Animals, Stories of Love and Liberation Talk, and that's also free.
Tell us about the collaboration between the two universities. That's pretty cool that you've got like an inter-university dynamic. Is this just because of location, or can you tell us more about the logistics of that?
It is because of the location. If anyone's not familiar with Waterloo, the two universities are quite close together. So we kind of felt like if we're just going to have it at one, it wouldn't be such a community event. We wanted it to be a community event, and wanted to reach students on both campuses. So we have people on our team that are UW students, Laurier students, and some that are not students of either university. They're just Kitchener, Waterloo locals who really wanted to help out.
I think that's really great that you've been able to do that. I know I'm at Brock University, and I mean, we broadcast out of the University of Toronto, and there's tons of different places in Southern Ontario and lots of great organizations coming together. So it's really great to see that happening over in Kitchener-Waterloo. I was curious, you mentioned Joanne MacArthur. Who are some of the other guests that will be there?
Well, on the panels, there are a lot of great names. On the veganism panel, we're going to be having David Alexander, president of the Toronto Vegetarian Association. Among others, Marina Vasilescu, nutrition educator on Desjardins. She sits on the Kitchen Environmental Advisory Committee. And also Florian Morrison, who's the owner of Veg Out Restaurant in London. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that, but it's a great place. And the environmental panel, we're going to be having Dr. Tony Weiss, who is a professor over at Western. He's written one book, and he has another book coming out called The Ecological Hoofprints, The Global Burden of Industrial Livestock, and it's a great book. It is so great, and he is a vegan, and he is totally behind the cause. And also Andrea Seip, a marine biologist, and she'll be giving a speech on that too, on industrial fish farming, along with Stacey Dankard, the Kitchener Waterloo Green Party candidate. And on the legal panel, we have people coming representing Mercy for Animals, Camille Labchuk, Animal Justice Canada, Neva Novakovic, and, Sherry Delaney, founder of Storybook Farms Primate Sanctuary, who we might know just won the battle for Darwin the IKEA monkey, and she's going to be talking about the legal implications of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a great conversation for sure. And on our speciesism panel, we have Dr. Andrew Hunt from Waterloo. We have Lucas Saloni, Mercy for Animals Canada.
That sounds like a really great lineup. Like, that should be such an amazing, like, jam-packed day. Like, people are going to be learning so much. That's really awesome. Is there a registration process? How can people get involved with Animal Rights Day?
You can go online. We have a Facebook page, Animal Rights Day Waterloo 2013. We also have a website, animalrightsday.com. You can also send us an email if you want at animalrightsday@gmail.com. We are accepting applications for volunteers to help out during the day in any way. And if you're just looking to attend, you can come on down any time during the day and drop in on any of the events or all of the events. Just be aware that parking is limited at Laurier, so carpool is suggested.
And carpooling is better for the environment anyways, so that's awesome.
Exactly.
Well, the last thing I was going to ask was where people can go to learn more, but you mentioned that, the website, animalrightsday.com, that's correct?
Yep.
Is there anything else that we haven't mentioned today that you want to tell our listeners?
Just come on down. You know, we're not just doing this event for people that don't know anything about animal rights. We're trying to bring together everybody. So if you are interested, bring your friends, bring them down. It's all free, and it'll be a great day.
That sounds awesome. So any of our listeners in the Kitchener-Waterloo area are hoping to make a trip down to the Kitchener-Waterloo area, go check out Animal Rights Day on October 3rd. Thank you so much, Jadine, for coming and chatting with us today. I wish you the best of luck with the event. It sounds like it's going to go really great.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us on.
No problem. On the show today, we have Rob Stewart, and we've actually spoken with him in 2007 about his award-winning film Sharkwater, and since then, he has also created the film Revolution and written the book Save the Humans. Rob is not only an award-winning photographer, but a scuba instructor, wildlife photographer, and environmental activist. His recent works have taken his love for sharks and other animals and stresses how interconnected the protection of the environment and animals is for both humans and non-humans. I am very pleased to welcome back on the show Rob Stewart.
Thanks for having me.
So first thing I just want to check up on is if you could update us on how the reception has been to Revolution and to Save the Humans.
The reception's been great. Revolution did really well in theaters in Canada. It was the biggest Canadian movie for a while. And the public and the press liked it, so I'm super excited. I mean, the biggest thing for us is not so much that people like the movie, but we want people to see the movie because it's education first and foremost. It's the most important thing right now. Without an educated public, you know, we can't be guided by our emotions or holding each other accountable to try to create a world that works. So education, first and foremost, is key for us.
Absolutely. And so what you've done sort of different from Sharkwater to Revolution is your focus has shifted from the individual sharks to sort of the more bigger picture environmental message. Would you be able to tell us about what is the ocean-related climate change? I know there's a large focus on land-based issues such as factory farming, cars, pollution, but what's going on with the oceans?
The biggest issue on the planet right now is something called ocean acidification. It's kind of the evil brother of climate change. It's caused by the same thing, carbon put into the atmosphere, except instead of causing a greenhouse effect, it gets absorbed by the oceans, making the oceans 30% more acidic than they were 100 years ago. And in an increasing acidic environment, anything in the ocean that builds skeletons or shells can't form. And that's pretty well everything, from coral reefs to the phytoplankton that we depend on for the oxygen in the air that we breathe. And we know at least 4 out of the 5 mass extinctions in the last 500 million years have been caused by ocean acidification. So one of the biggest things everybody can do to battle this is to reduce their carbon footprint immensely.
Oh, definitely. In one of the latter chapters of your book, you mentioned that this is about more than just saving sharks now. And you changed your message because, of course, it does still include sharks. Do you still pursue sort of the smaller scale shark or, you know, individual animal activism? Or what are your thoughts on like combining the two, the larger and smaller pictures?
I think people should use their talents to fight for the things that they love the most. And if that's tackling the big picture, awesome. If that's saving rabbits, then cool. We need people tackling this issue in every way possible. So, you know, for me, my favorite animals were sharks, and my talents lie in images. So I thought making a movie would be it. But by the time we were done releasing Sharkwater, we'd met some of the world's top scientists and political leaders, and everyone said, what you're doing with sharks is awesome, but you're missing the point. We're going to lose everything, not just sharks. Pointing out that by the middle of the century, we face a world with no fish, no reefs, no rainforests, and 9 billion people on a planet that can't feed the 7 that are here currently. So it changed for us from, you know, save the sharks to save the humans. What do we need to do to save the ecosystems we depend on for survival?
And I was actually curious about that. So why did you select the title Save the Humans for your book as opposed to something like Save the Earth or something we've heard like that?
Because it's not about saving the Earth. The Earth's going to be fine. Species are going to be fine. There's animals that have been on this planet for billions of years. You know, we've been here for a couple hundred thousand years, and in, you know, the blink of an evolutionary eye, in a couple generations, we've wiped out almost everything. There's a scene in Revolution of a baobab tree in Madagascar, a tree that's 1,500 years old. In the life of one tree, we've consumed 90% of the fish, 75% of the forests, you know, most of everything we depend on for survival. So I'm trying to shift the argument a little bit, that it's not the ecosystems we need to save, it's us. And if we want to save us, we need to save everything.
That's so true. One of the things I thought was really cool about your book, but especially I noticed it a lot in your movie, is you talked a lot about how important the role of youth is. So first I was wondering, how have you been able to get youth excited about sharks and the environment in general? And then second, do you think that this generation will be able to maintain this passion into adulthood?
After Sharkwater, it was kids mostly that went out and fought for sharks around the world and got government policy changed. And we actually showed some of those in Revolution. And if you look at all the revolutions in the past, they were always led by the people most directly influenced by the atrocity. Who hit the streets during the cultural, racial, and gender revolutions? You know, it was the people that were oppressed and the people in trouble. And right now, kids are looking at the numbers and looking at the science and realizing that it's their future that's at stake. It's their future that's being burned and consumed and obliterated by this generation, by the present, by the older generations. And so it's going to be their job to take it back.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. One of the things I thought was really cool in your book, you kind of divided it up into three sections. We've got the Sharkwater movie, the Revolution movie, and also there is sort of your own personal autobiography. It was really cool to see your perspective in the early years. I know you spent a lot of hands-on time up and close with animals, and that kind of inspired your passion. I was wondering how kids might get interested who maybe weren't able to get as up close and personal, or maybe be unable to actually see these animals. What are your recommendations for them?
That's why I'm making movies, is to try to give people an understanding and appreciation and a relationship with these animals, even if they'd never met one. So to ban shark fins in Toronto, there were kids coming out all over the place that had never even met a shark in real life, but they were fighting for them. So I think, you know, it's pretty innate, our love of animals and our love of these ecosystems, because they're our life support system. And I think people will go to bat to fight for them, whether they've actually been in a personal interaction with them or not.
That's so true. It was so cool reading about your love of animals. I think one of the coolest things I found was your focus on the flamboyant cuttlefish. It was one of the coolest parts of the movie and in the book to see how like passionate you are about such a unique yet diverse life, you know, how each species is the pinnacle of its own evolution. Is there any particular motivation for your focus on this?
I was just trying to give people the childlike love that I have. You know what I mean? Like, I love these animals in such a kiddie kind of naive way, and I'm just fascinated by them and their lives and their evolution. And I thought that if I could give people that, you know, I could bring them back to their childlike ways where they were fascinated by bugs, rocks, and stuff. I'm hoping that that love will tap people back into fighting for the ecosystems we depend on.
And I think you did such a great job of that, because it's an animal that a lot of people, of course, haven't heard of. People know about lions and tigers, but the flamboyant cuttlefish was just so unique and awesome. I should have asked this before, but could you tell us a bit about the flamboyant cuttlefish and why it is so cool?
The flamboyant cuttlefish is an evolutionary marvel. They're a cephalopod related to squids, octopus, and other mollusks. But they're the most highly evolved of all of them because they're the first one that's actually poisonous. So we found them in an area called Muck, which is the area sort of between coral reefs in Papua New Guinea, where, you know, only the most dangerous kind of creatures live, the ones that, you know, fit to survive on the reef. And this little animal, which is maybe 2 to 4 inches long, walks around on the bottom of this incredibly dangerous ecosystem and just doesn't care whatsoever. Because it's poisonous, it flashes bright colors all over the place, and it just destroys and devastates all these other little fish and crabs and stuff that live in the area. They're quite a charismatic little creature. Probably more than I can describe. You're going to have to watch Revolution to see them in action.
Now, okay, this next one's kind of a big question. I've noticed in your book, you know, you've done lots of traveling and had lots of different jobs, such as what we mentioned in the introduction today. So I was wondering if you had any favorite destinations. What are the must-do experiences you might recommend for our listeners?
I think seeing the wilds of our own backyards is particularly important. What's in Canada? What have we got here that's beautiful and magnificent and amazing? And you know, what have you got close to your house? Because I think our actions and our concern has to start locally. Beyond that, I would love if everybody could travel the world, particularly it's a problem because it's carbon intensive. But Africa is one of my favorite places in the world. I almost think everyone, it would be great if we lived in a world where everyone could see Africa. I finished university there, and it sort of felt like home more than any other place I've ever been. But other things, I think people should see factory farms. They should see farms where their food's grown. They should see garbage dumps and see where their waste is thrown out. And they should see the life and the pollution and the atrocities going around coal power plants and nuclear power plants and stuff, and see what's actually going on so they actually understand the relationship they're in with their food, their water, and their energy.
That's so true, and that's so incredibly important. Now, I was curious if we can focus a little more on sort of the way forward. First of all, it sounds like since your book's been released, or between Sharkwater and Save the Humans, there's been a lot of ground broken in terms of shark fin bans. Do you have any updates on how that's going, both in localities or sort of more national context? And what do you think is the best strategy for continuing to implement these shark fin bans across the world?
There are now more than 100 countries, territories, states, or cities that have banned shark fin, where you can't even own it, possess it, or trade it. So the fin-free movement has been gaining traction and is doing quite well. And a lot of it's led by kids. And we found the most effective strategy is to show kids shark water, tell them that shark fins are allowed in their city, and point them towards some politicians that have the ability to introduce some policy against it. The United Conservation is the charity that I started, and Fin Free is all about showing kids how to change the world, and that changing the world isn't that difficult. You just need to try, and we're not trying hard enough yet. So I do think the best strategy with all this stuff is just to start, take one foot and put it in front of the other and start trying to do something.
That actually fits in very well with my next question. I was interested in seeing what you're working on now that the film is out and it's being released on DVD on August 20th in Canada. Your book's out. So I was curious, what are your new projects? What's next on the horizon for you?
I'm doing a TV series about the future. What the future is going to look like in the direction we're headed. What the future could look like if we got it right. And what are the forces preventing us from getting there?
That's awesome. Would you be able to elaborate a bit further? So what's it about? What channel? Tell us more.
It's kind of secret at the moment, but I'll give you a little bit more. So there's some pretty big moves that need to be taken for us to survive as a species and design this world that works. And the problems that are preventing us getting there are a lack of education and the fact that the destruction and the pollution is enormously profitable. You know, there's nothing more profitable than, you know, pumping oil or minerals or gold out of the ground and selling it to people, or cutting down trees or mining out the oceans and selling that stuff. So there's some massive industries in the way of us achieving a world that works. So this show investigates each one of those significant steps that is necessary for us to make it. You know, like, how are we going to make pollution illegal? How are we going to cap and stabilize the population? Those kinds of things.
Do we have a predicted release date, or is it still pretty much up in the air?
No, nothing more to tell you about that yet.
All right, no problem at all. I'm really looking forward to hearing more about it when it does come out, though. We're almost out of time. I just had two more things I wanted to ask. First of all, is there anything else that you really wanted to share with our listeners today? And second of all, where can they go for more information if they want to learn more?
Everyone can go to therevolutionmovie.com. And I think the most important thing everybody should know about this is that the problem we've got on the planet is exactly what humanity needs right now. You know, in a time when we're stuck on the internet and in jobs we don't like and we're disconnected from people, you know, I think everyone feels like there's more meaning in life than we've got. And right now we have a problem that's going to break down borders and unite humanity to confront the greatest catastrophe we've ever faced. It's going to call the best in humanity to the height of their potential to tackle this problem. And for the first time in human history, everybody has an opportunity to become a hero. And I think that's going to be pretty awesome, watching humanity rise to this occasion and seeing that initiate the next stage of our evolution.
That's really excellently put. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Rob. I really appreciate you coming back to AV to chat with me.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Animal Voices is produced and broadcast at CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto and CFBU 103.7 FM in St. Catharines. Thanks to our team, Justin St. Ange for teching today, and also Lauren Corman, Aaron O'Sullivan, Neil Harvey, Taylor Book, and Kevin Tillman. You can reach us online at our website, which has just newly been updated at animalvoices.ca, or on our Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr pages. I'm Daniel Angrenon. Thanks for listening.